Doug Green, and I'm the publisher of Telecom Reseller. And today I'm with Jason Roos, who's the CEO and founder of Cirrus. Jason, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Doug.
Well, you know, what prompted my interest in doing this podcast is I saw a headline come across that said 94% of agents might actually welcome AI as something positive. And I was like, wow, I got to learn a little bit more about that. And that led to this podcast. We're going to be jumping into that in just a second. But Jason, just for a second, can you tell us what Cirrus is?
Certainly. Cirrus is a CCaaS vendor. So we provide customers with contact center as a service solutions. But more specifically, we have two missions. The first one is to unlock potential in our customers' contact centers by helping them transform to digital communication, and in particular, to unlock digital channels where they might have struggled to do that previously. And then our second is to provide an overlay on top of the unified communications platforms that IT are rolling out across businesses that might struggle to deliver contact center capability to target customers who have contact centers. The likes of Microsoft Teams is a great example where we have a platform that integrates with Microsoft Teams and takes that pain away from an MSP or a reseller selling to a business that has a contact center.
You know, I think historically, whether you're an agent, whether you're one of our readers as a technologist at a large company or a channel partner and so on, AI has not been always such a welcome thing. It's sometimes welcome, but I think it's seen as maybe a job killer, maybe as a necessary evil. So did it surprise you when you found out that agents were thinking that maybe AI would be a positive thing? And a lot of them too, 94% is a lot.
I think the 94% level surprised us. We knew that it would be broadly positive because of our findings with our customers. But 94% was a surprise because you're quite right in saying that there's an inherent fear of AI. You only have to Google AI and contact center and make it pass through the ads to then start to get to the news articles where there's concern that AI is going to replace a lot of jobs. But I see it differently, and we see it differently at Cirrus, because if you combine the underlying challenge that we as customers experience on a regular basis trying to contact businesses who we pay for services, the frustration I still have today when I reach out to anybody who takes money out of my bank account because I need to ask a question or get some form of service, I'm often deflected. I have to go through menu after menu and layer after layer. And then all too often nowadays, the machine hangs up on me. So when you look at that customer frustration and you put that together with the emergence of AI, we see two things happening. The first, when AI is used correctly in the contact center, it's used as a tool to deflect low-value transactional conversations away from the agent. And it's those low-value transactional conversations that we see suppressing headcount and suppressing wages in the contact center industry, because a business wants to keep their costs to serve their customer as low as possible. And the second thing that we see happening if AI is used correctly is we see that customer experience will be impacted significantly. And we'll talk a little bit, perhaps as we go through the podcast today, about some of the good and bad examples of deployment of chatbots and AI, because we certainly see both. But we were surprised by the level being 94%. I thought it would be positive, but it was much more positive than we were expecting.
You know, I think just as we'll take off all of our professional hats for a moment and just talk as regular people, consumers, buyers, whatever, probably everyone listening to this podcast has had this bad AI experience that you just described of calling with a need you thought was important enough to at least make a phone call about. Basically literally being hung up on and the humiliation of being hung up on by a machine, that helpless feeling that you also described of, now what am I going to do? I can't even get a person to talk to me.
Very, very true. I think there's some good examples to bring that to life. I moved home in January of this year. And as you can imagine, when you move home, you need to update your address with all the businesses that you pay for services. And I don't want to make phone calls. I mean, just speaking on a human level, in a professional context, I spend all of my day on Teams and Zoom on video calls. So making a phone call to update my address really isn't a good use of my time. I want to do that digitally. And I was surprised how few companies that I buy services from offered me that as a solution in 2021 to change my address via a self-service portal or via a conversational AI on their website. They forced me to pick up the phone. So not only do we have businesses driving contact to the telephone channel, which might not be the best channel for that interaction, I then had to sit in some significant call queues, listening to the regular announcement where the business says, you're valuable to us and we'll answer your call as quickly as we can. But invariably they don't. And then also saying to us through the pandemic that due to the pandemic, there's been an unavoidable reduction in our staffing levels and there may be a longer than usual wait to answer the call. And that all of that was to have a conversation with the agent in the contact center that has very little value to the business. Update my address. That's not adding any value, but there's a cost to it. And that cost can be completely deflected over to automation and to AI. But it must be done right. And what I mean by getting AI right is if for whatever reason I struggle, it needs to seamlessly be able to connect me through to a person. Because if it doesn't, I wind up with that negative experience, like you said, of being hung up on. And it's very disarming. The last thing I want to do is carry on paying a business money when I feel like they haven't cared enough to answer the phone or to provide me with service when I need it.
So, you know, you've been talking here about two things that I wrote down. I must be colliding right now at the same time. We have the Great Resignation, which is impacting all sorts of organizations, not just the contact center, but the contact center surely is one of the hardest hit areas. And also I wrote down the words great frustration. So you have customers that are not happy and you have agents that are not happy and you have AI probably seen by people even who maybe sell it as being not necessarily something that is good. And let me also throw into the mix, it sounds to me like what you just said confirms everyone's suspicion that in many cases, up until now, AI has been, there's a certain malpractice with AI.
Correct, yes. I think I see the great frustration equally applying to working in a contact center. Contact center agents have a tough job. If you think about the example that I described where a customer's waiting a long time in the queue, if you're just trying to give somebody great service, but by the time you first speak to them, they're already unhappy about what's happened. And then you do that 100 times a day in a shift. A typical shift for a contact center agent can be up to 100 conversations in a day. You can just imagine what it's like, especially now that you're isolated at home, taking all of this frustration from customers on a repetitive basis. And then when you're also having to deal with repetition, where you're saying the same things to customers over and over again because you're being faced with low-value transactions that could be automated. It's not a surprise to me that we're seeing a significant shift in labor from one job to the other, but also out of the industry, because it is a very, very difficult job. And that's where AI comes in as a significant help to the contact center industry, because when used correctly, those low-value transactional interactions can be taken out the contact center, thereby reducing the cost to serve to the business, reducing their overheads. But it also frees up capacity for the agent to potentially spend longer with the customer who needs more complex support. And if I'm going to be talking to more customers about more complex support requirements, naturally, as an agent, my skill set is going to go up and I'm going to be more valued in the contact center, which will likely drive my pay up. So AI as a tool, we think, is going to have some incredible impact on the contact center industry for good for contact center agents and customers alike.
Well, Jason, let's then shift from I think we've done a good job of describing the problem. Let's talk about maybe the opportunity and the set of solutions that are in front of us. So I'm going to start with, for the moment, our listeners and readers who actually work for the companies we're talking about, these larger firms. They maintain a contact center. It might be a place where you book a room or a flight or talk to an agent about your bank account or insurance and so on. Our folks are not the people that hire the agents, but they are there to basically furnish the technology that is being used. So as they think about the year ahead, and more importantly, as they think about maybe a new post-COVID era, hybrid work era, virtualized contact center era, and so on, all these different changes, how should they be plotting the idea of how do they go about taking AI and using it for this higher purpose that you just described?
I think it starts with how the customer is encouraged to contact the business. There's some research that I've seen that suggests that despite the change in consumer communication behavior, driven predominantly through our smartphones, I send more WhatsApp messages and Facebook messenger messages in a day than I make phone calls in my personal life. But yet, inbound interactions into businesses are 80% voice and email. So the customer is being encouraged to use outdated, antiquated channels to reach out to the business in order to provide service to themselves. And we see channel shift as the first most significant enabler to unlock the potential of AI in the contact center. We've got to give the customer a better choice than the telephone, if they want to. I'm not advocating replacing the phone, because for some items and for some customers, the phone is the best channel of choice. But thinking back to that example of updating my address, it really wasn't the best channel, but I was driven to that in the main. There were a few shining examples that gave me digital tools to update my address, but the majority forced me into the phone call. So what I mean by channels is allowing customers to find methods of contacting the contact center, like WhatsApp, like SMS, like Facebook Messenger. And even in the social domain, you need to be able to provide service to customers who talk to you on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. If you're posting content to YouTube, if customers are commenting and asking questions in the comments, you have to be able to respond. But the great thing is when you enable digital channels, you can moderate the contact into the contact center through AI first. And the machine learning, natural language processing algorithms that are available off the shelf from vendors like us and others give you the tools to be able to say, I can see you want to update your address. Can you tell me the first line, please? Can you tell me your zip code? Did your telephone number change? That can be automated. It doesn't need a person. But the most important thing to getting this right is for some customers, the decision trees are going to get to, I can't help you, in the AI. And it's at that point that the AI needs to seamlessly hand over to a person, kind of in the same way that we used to have when we went into a shop. And if we were asking a product question that the person who was serving us couldn't answer, they might look across the shop and ask another person who might know more information. That's exactly how the AI has to work in the contact center. It needs to handshake seamlessly between automation and a live agent.
Staying in the shoes of the buyer for just a moment, the people that at the end of the day actually have to buy and then implement these AI solutions right there on the ground level. Are these things affordable? In other words, are the recommendations you're making, how hard are they to implement? Is it an affordable solution? Where's the ROI?
I think the first thing to note is it's not a standalone solution. It has to be able to integrate with all of the communication channels that are being served by the contact center. So it is an additional component to the underlying contact center platform that's being used within the business. It depends on who you're buying from. There's two schools of thought. You could buy a platform and integrate that platform, and we've seen some large ticket prices for customers who have embedded AI platforms in their business. Our approach is to look at it on a consumption basis. We price everything as a business on the basis that you pay when you use it. And that gives customers the ability to build a very simple ROI against deflecting service from agents. It will always be cheaper to automate a conversation via a chatbot or a conversational AI web chat tool It'll be cheaper to do that than to serve it with a person, even a person at minimum wage or just above working in a contact center. So ROI is very easy to get, but it's important that the AI capability is ubiquitous across every channel in the contact center. It needs to be present no matter what channel of communication the customer is using.
So Jason, what you're describing is almost like instant ROI. In other words, the minute we turn that on and we start doing it through the cloud and we're doing it per unit, basically, each one of those incidents is a measurable ROI.
Absolutely. You can take it as an offset. It would have been $1, $2, $3, depending on the economics in the specific contact center, to have the interaction with an agent, whereas it could be sub $1, 50 cents, et cetera, depending on the economics, to have a conversation by the AI. So there's an immediate payback from releasing it. But there is a cautious tale to tell, because if it's done incorrectly, if you choose the wrong product, you increase customer frustration. I hate it when I go onto a website and I try and interact with the business and I get to a point where it says, sounds like you need help from somebody, please call us. Well, I would have called if I wanted to call rather than using the chat tool. So you've got to make sure that the AI is seamlessly handshaking the customer between automation and live agent at the points at which the customer needs something more than what the AI can give.
And by mounting it in the cloud, it also sounds like the transition to adoption of these reforms basically is much easier.
Significantly so. The deployment lead times are coming down. We're breaking records on a regular basis by how quickly we can help businesses. We had a bricks and mortar shoe retailer who came to us. They had recently changed their logistics and fulfillment company right at the point that the UK was going back to school, and school shoes were arriving late. So that was driving an absolute wave of contact into the contact center. So they said, what can you do to help us? And of course, there were online tools that were available to customers, but they needed some help to use those online tools. So in a matter of days, we were able to direct the AI to help customers and have conversations, because the majority of the calls were, where's my order? Well, we could help them go through the process of tracking their order and giving the answer. But most importantly, if the delivery date was too late, we then gave the customer the option to speak to an agent to cancel the order if they needed to. So that's the sort of use case, a great use case where AI can be deployed very, very quickly to help specific problems in the contact center.
Now, turning to the people that are listening that are MSPs or channel partners or companies out there that are offering and selling solutions, as you look towards the year ahead, how do you talk to your customers? How do you engage people that you know have a contact center, and then maybe you kind of suspect maybe struggling with these issues?
That's a great question. There's two main trends that are really difficult for anybody running a contact center to deal with today. The first is the emergence of omnichannel in the contact center. We see in customer RFPs a disproportionate focus on customers wanting to buy digital channels versus their current volumes. In their business, they still have 80% voice and email, but they really want to transform digitally. And we see that even in 2021, when most of the CCaaS vendors are omnichannel enabled, we still see customers seeking help to execute on that digital transformation ambition. So conversations around how the contact center is embracing and adopting digital channels will always get you traction. I think the second is looking at the agent workforce and happiness at home. Looking at that great resignation problem that we've got, how are your agents managing at home? How are you dealing with the data and information security and compliance risks of having your customers' data discussed in agents' homes? So those kinds of conversations are also very topical, because I think during the course of 2022, we will continue to see a significant amount of churn in contact center agent workforce, and businesses will focus on that quite sharply. And there's some great tools that you can use to drive engagement to the agent, despite the fact that they're working remotely and at home. One of the great things our product does is It allows agents to see not just their own team, but they can easily see in a snapshot view every person working across the contact center. And if they need help, they have two clicks of a button to be able to get to somebody who they can ask a question to. So trying to bring those benefits of having everybody together in a virtual environment, those kinds of conversations with contact center directors, customer experience managers, and anybody who's managing large groups of people in a contact center will get you good traction.
Are you suggesting to the channel partner companies that you deal with to be proactive, to basically reach out to customers who may not have reached out and say, hey, listen, we can help you?
Absolutely. I think there's always a case to be the one coming forward with the help. Because you want to have that conversation before your customer reaches out to Google. You want to be the person having that conversation first.
Is there a real opportunity here? It's, it sounds very granular. I'm going to make, you're describing the ROIs there. It's not very expensive. A couple of pennies per phone call or something. Is there really an opportunity here for a channel company?
There is, because a couple of pennies per phone call scales very quickly into compelling revenue streams. And it's recurring revenue streams month in, month out, that once a customer's realizing value is a product that has exceptional retention. Our view is a business in the contact center is typically going to deploy AI once as long as it works. If it's delivering the stated objectives that they bought AI for in the first place, they're unlikely to seek a replacement unless there's a commercial or a technical reason why they'll need to go and look for something else. So we see retention rates with AI-enabled CCAT as a significant plus for MSPs and resellers.
Assuming all this technology is deployed properly and everything goes to plan, are you sort of seeing a very different type of agent when we think about the contact center agent, what that person does, how they're paid, competitive task issue and so on? Are we looking at really a different profession or occupation in the future?
Absolutely, yes. I think by removing the low-value transactional conversations to automation, we're freeing up agents to serve customers who have more complex needs. By nature, more complex needs require higher skills. And as the contact center moves to that higher skilled, higher value transaction with customers, I see contact center agent wages increasing. I see the contact center industry changing from something that we tend today to think of as a negative, because we all have frustration and poor customer experience when we try to get through to contact centers, to something that is a positive, because AI would have removed the underlying pressure in the enterprise organization to reduce the headcount in the contact center, because there's no return on investment for a change of address, to providing a business case to increase headcount in the contact center because the agents are doing something that has intrinsic value to the organization. So I see over the next 5 years, the industry changing quite significantly, driven by AI, but my views are perhaps counter to popular beliefs in that I see AI increasing contact center agent headcount rather than reducing it.
And that dreaded phone call that you were mentioning, and that's a typical thing. Hey, I moved, or I want to do something like that. Do you sort of think that maybe in the future that won't be such a dreadful thing?
The dreaded phone call. I think the phone calls will start to happen as an extension of digital engagement. Wouldn't it be great if while I was talking to you, of course, not while I'm doing a podcast with you because I have to concentrate for this, but wouldn't it be great if on some of those Teams meetings or Zoom meetings where maybe you're a participant listening in, if you needed to do something, hey, I forgot to change my address with my utilities company, if you could just send them a WhatsApp. How much simpler is that than a phone call? But let's just imagine a world where, for whatever reason, my phone number exists twice on my utility company's systems. They have me at my old address and at my current address. So they then need to say, well, which one is this? And they can't do that via AI. So they then say, we need to talk to you to do that. when's a good time to call? And I say at 5 p.m. and they call me at 5 p.m. So the phone call will be the follow-up when needed rather than the default first route in. And by getting rid of that long queue time and often getting through to agents who are feeling frustrated or tired because they've been shouted at all day, I'll be speaking to people who are fresh and engaged. I think it's the dreaded phone call days are numbered. Certainly if we have our way and we achieve our ambition at Cirrus.
And, you know, when you look out beyond that, is there a frontier of opportunity beyond that? In other words, we have all this infrastructure. We have agents, we have customers engaging with companies and so on. You know, the reason I'm asking this question is there's a very poor try that we discussed in our pre-podcast discussion. Everyone's had this experience. You're calling up, you have an urgent issue, and meanwhile, they're trying to upsell you. And, you know, probably that's not a bad idea, not the right time to talk to me about upselling. But I'm wondering if the idea behind that might be fulfilled in some better way.
Absolutely. I think the push to upsell is driven to try and provide an economic model for contact center agents that makes better sense. If I can turn the contact center into a profit center by getting the agents to upsell and push, I can provide a better business case for increasing my headcount or maintaining my existing headcount in the contact center. A great example is looking at the sort of touch points when a customer's researching their buying decision. If I was going to buy a new cell phone and take out a new contract with a mobile carrier, I might go onto three different websites and cross-shop across three different websites. If at the point that I'm cross-shopping, I interact with AI and the AI asks me for some information, do you mind if I take your name? Do you mind if I take a contact number? But imagine a few days later when I get a message on WhatsApp saying, hey, Jason, did you decide which carrier you're going to go for? That full journey is still automated, but that upsell is happening at points of value to me rather than points where I've called about something else and now somebody's trying to push a product that I'm not really interested in.
So, you know, one last big item that's out there, you know, as everything else is changing, this last year and maybe the year before has got to be the year of teams. We went from maybe 2 or 3 million users to now I'm hearing numbers approaching 200 million users. Quite a revolution. A lot of our readers are transitioning to teams. Does that have a factor with the AI and agent issues that you've been discussing?
It very much does. We have seen the same as what you just described. Pre-pandemic, our sales pipeline was dominated by resellers and MSPs who used us to fulfill the contact center as an overlay to a traditional hosted voice or PBX system that they were reselling to a customer. Post-pandemic, 80% of our new business pipeline is fulfilled via Microsoft Teams. And the key element that we see is as businesses are moving to unified communications, for some customers, CCaaS is needed. But you have these competing priorities. There is an IT objective to have a single unified communications platform across the enterprise, including the contact center agents. But Teams doesn't natively have contact center tools. So you need a solution that can seamlessly integrate with Microsoft Teams as an overlay, leave your revenue streams intact so that you don't see any change in your underlying revenues that you derive by fulfilling Microsoft Teams for your customer. And you get the ability to solve the contact center pain with specialist technology that acts as an overlay and seamlessly integrates with Teams as an app from Microsoft.
Well, Jason, I want to thank you for joining me today. This has been a really interesting conversation. I think very revealing that AI, which started out as our friend and then maybe became not so friendly, may end up actually sort of saving the day, solving the great resignation crisis, transforming the role of the agent, and simply helping a lot of companies do a better job with their customers, channel partners with opportunities, and so on. Where can we learn more about Cirrus?
Doug, thanks for the opportunity to talk to you today. You can find out more about Cirrus at cirrusresponse.com. That's Cirrus, C-I-R-R-U-S, response.com.
And the research we discussed, is it all there on your website?
That's on the news tab in the website. So you can find links to the article under the news resource on our website.
And are there resources that we'll find there in terms of if I want to make these changes and reforms to AI use?
Yes, there are. There's a number of white papers that you can access, how-to guides. But equally, any one of our team would be more than happy to spend some time with you and talk you through, against a specific customer requirement, or even if you're just in general thinking about launching a product to help customers in the contact center space with AI, we'd love to hear from you and we'd love to spend some time with you.
Well, Jason, this has been really interesting. I think we learned a lot, and I'm looking forward. This topic isn't going to go away, so I hope we get to do this in a few months. But for now, I want to thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you, Doug. Appreciate the time.